Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
Episode number
11.
11. How did we get to 11 episodes already?
I don't know. Here we are.
Youth Ministry Sherpas. My name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson. We are sitting at beautiful resort house that we rented out for the weekend, and it's snowing.
Here in beautiful Garrett County, Maryland, Northwest Maryland, Deep Creek Lake.
Hanging out with a bunch of our homies from back in Frederick, a bunch of youth workers that we are really good friends with. We do this every year, and it is a total blast.
Yeah, absolutely. If you hear any background noise, we've got some Fortnite in the background trying to get a win over there. We've been on the schneid most of the weekend, but they're still efforting.
People are coming in and out of the hot tub, dripping water all over the place, but it's all good.
Drinking adult libations. Life is good.
Life is good. This is just something that brings us life every year, and keeps us going. If you don't have a group of friends in youth ministry, I just really encourage you to find that group and pursue them. It's worth every second.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that in a future episode, the importance of community in student ministry. But today's topic.
Yeah, we're going to talk about volunteers today.
Volunteers. How do you find them?
How do you equip and assimilate them?
And how do you keep them?
Those are three good questions.
And so we're going to just get into some of that and hopefully have a conversation. Hopefully that will help you as a youth worker, because without volunteers, we are just never going to keep going.
No, we can't do this ourselves.
Out.
Yeah.
Do you ever serve as a volunteer?
I have served as a volunteer. That's how I got my feet wet in youth ministry many years ago. And here's how it happened for me. We were new at a church. I was actually on staff at the church as communications director. And my wife and I just looked at each other and said, we should get involved. We should volunteer. That's what you should do as a good Christian, right? So we jumped into junior high ministry.
Where else would you go?
Who else needs the help more than them, right?
That's right.
And it was great. It was such a good experience. The youth pastors there were fantastic. The church had a great emphasis on youth ministry. And we were young, in our 20s, and we just clicked with the group of people that were doing it together. Really good friends. We had a blast together. We used to, you know, hang out with them and do stuff offline with them as well. It was great and just a great experience for us.
Wow. Awesome. And, well, I've never had the chance to volunteer in student ministry per se. It started as a youth pastor at like 20 years old. So I was already, you know, in there. I mean, I volunteered a little when I was younger at like a camp and stuff, never in student ministry. But lately with my kids in high school, I get an opportunity to serve in a similar role to a volunteer youth worker as like a chaperone for some of their trips over at the school. And so just actually here this last week, I chaperoned a trip for the choir at my kid's school. My kid's school is in Germantown, Maryland, which has been just recently ranked the second most diverse city in the country.
What's the most?
I think it's somewhere in New Jersey.
Okay.
But four of the top, I think 10 are in Montgomery County, where we live.
Wow.
Germantown's at the top of the list. So my kid's school is extraordinarily multicultural. They would be the minority on the Caucasian spell over there. So here I am on a bus full of the choir, and I was handed an attendance sheet and asked to take attendance. And of course, these are kids I don't know.
Right.
There are a few of them I know because they're friends with my kid, but most of them I've never seen before. And I'm staring at this list, and and I had to call all of their names out loud, and you cannot believe how terribly I did.
There weren't too many Jills, Jacks, Susans, Michaels, Johns.
I think there was one Margaret. and every other name, I just absolutely did the best I could. I felt like Key and Peele, you know, calling out Jake Quellen. I mean, I just was, and of course, they had absolutely zero mercy whatsoever. I mean, they were just screaming back at me, "No, you got it wrong." I mean, mostly in good fun, but man, you know, sometimes being a volunteer is tough because, you know, we're outside of our comfort zone. You know, it's not what we do for a living. It's not, you know, what we do. And so it was actually a nice reminder for me of actually thinking about the volunteers.
What it's like to be new.
And my student ministry.
Trying to figure it out.
Like, this is my life. This is what I do, but it's not theirs. But they're there. They're ready to serve. But I can imagine sometimes they're feeling like I felt standing there holding that attendance sheet, like, what am I doing here and how am I going to succeed at this?
You served as a chaperone for a group of students that you didn't know at all, and it presented its own set of challenges to you.
Absolutely.
And I think our volunteers, as they step in as new volunteers, there's a whole set of challenges for them as well, trying to figure out what in the heck is going on here and who are these kids.
Absolutely. I actually kind of had that thought as I was standing there on the bus staring at that sheet, like, what? What am I doing here? How am I going to get this done? And it made me think, I wonder, are we, you know, equipping our leaders to be in that position when we get them? So we just wanted to have a conversation, talk, because we're all in the same boat. We need these leaders to have a successful ministry, to really help these students find Jesus and grow in Christ. So how do we find those leaders? How do we assimilate and equip them in? And then how do we keep them around for the long haul? So Steve, what are some of the processes you guys have for finding people to volunteer in student ministry?
Yeah, I'm sure it's different at every church. For us, we tend to go directly to people rather than do any kind of mass recruiting or announcements. Occasionally, we will do that. It might be part of even a larger volunteer recruitment program at the church, and that occasionally will reap some rewards. But generally speaking, I just kind of keep my eyes out and my ears open to I keep all my senses fully aware of people in the church. Radar's always up for people who might be gifted in the area of youth ministry. I have a running list of potential volunteers, and I might send them an email or give them a phone call and just open up discussion and see what the level of interest might be and just kind of keep them in that pipeline over time and
see how it plays out.
Yeah, like anything else, if you have a pool of maybe 10 possible potential people to do something, you might end up with 3 or 4, and they might be the best. So that's kind of how I go about it, generally speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that over the years, I've found that to be probably one of the more effective ways to do it. I think I actually used to call it a hit list. And it's probably not a great term for it anymore.
I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate that.
They probably
title.
Wouldn't. But to make a list, to get a list of 10 or 12 people who you've got kind of your eye on that you think, they seem like they've got the temperament. They seem like they have the personality. They seem like they have the energy.
They can connect.
You know, whatever. And so you put that on there. And then, you have casual conversations with them and begin to plant a seed and begin to think and maybe take the long-term effect of, I might not just say, hey, why don't you come be a small group leader now, but I might just plant that idea so it grows and has some time. Because I think there is, again, I don't think that there's no place for maybe a broad announcement. I just think that there's a danger in a broad announcement.
That's
because
true. It can produce people you really don't want to have join your team.
Absolutely.
I've had that experience as well.
Oh, absolutely.
That's probably a different discussion for another day, but that's difficult too.
Yeah, because then you're in a tough spot where you got to
tell people
help people
them.
Understand that maybe this is not the best place for them, which is part of this process.
True.
But if you can mitigate and not have that be a dominating part of this process, it's just a lot easier.
I try to keep a continuous dialogue going with the adult ministries in the church. People who are doing, any kind of new people welcome, membership classes, that kind of thing. And just ask them to keep their radar up too and identify people, and we'll have conversations. And so it's really networking throughout the church, I think, is how we find people who are interested in gifted student ministries.
Yeah, we talk often to our current leaders because, again, these are people who they know what it takes. They have a general understanding. Well, for the most part, they know what it takes. They know the gifts and skills and personalities you got to have. And so to have them also be paying attention for who are some people that they think might be a good fit, so you can get referrals from people who are already serving that, hey, if you talk to so-and-so, we think they might be a good fit. And then you have another person you can kind of put on that list and tap on the shoulder and get the idea. But I think you need a good amount of people to talk to produce a couple of solid leaders, because they're not all going to pan out.
So now you've identified some. You've had that initial conversation. How do you go about actually getting them onto the team? What's that look like for you guys?
Well, I think one of the things that we've found in our context that helps out is what we call a ride-along, where early on in the process, it's just an opportunity to have them come and sort of walk through the process. Come for 3-4 weeks or 5 weeks and shadow other youth leaders and sit in on small groups and just observe what's happening, observe what the other leaders are doing, how they're connecting, what what their role is that night, and then encourage them to have conversations with those leaders to really get a full understanding of this is what I'm going to be asked of if I decide to sign up. I'm going to be asked to do this and this and think this way and act this way and be this way and to really take an honest look at is that something I think I can do? Because we want to get it right. We want to get someone in there who belongs there, somebody who is comfortable there, somebody who desires to do it and has the skills to do it, because otherwise it's just going to be a miserable experience for the volunteer. And the students are just way too smart. They'll smell somebody who is serving out of obligation or because there was a hole to fill, as opposed to somebody who really wants to be there. And so it's just not worth it. So to whatever systems you can put into place, and again, for us, one of the big ones was the ride-along, because it really just gives them an upfront, close, personal view. You can't really explain what it means to be a youth leader. You have to sort of experience it and see it firsthand. Yeah. And so the ride along has been helpful. It's helped some people say, yep, that's what I want to do. And it's helped a couple of people say, I'm not sure this is the role I'm supposed to be in. And both are fair enough.
Okay.
What about you guys?
First thing I do is I sit down and have a conversation with them, talk about what is involved in being in the youth ministry. I really try to cast a vision for it. I give them our mission statement, our core essentials, the stuff that we're all about, and just try to get a feel for, is this person a good fit? Am I going to like this person? Are they going to like me? Are they going to like this ministry? And then we do the same thing. We say, hey, come check it out. Come on Wednesday night, sit in on a small group, see what you think, see what you think of a room full of crazy middle school kids or high school kids, and is this something you think you can do? If they do that and all systems point forward, we have them complete an application and a background check, of course, and then we just try to figure out what is the best time to start. So generally, perfect world, I have them start like late summer. We do a big training for the coming year. I would want to get them into that and get them set up for the whole year. It doesn't always work like that. Sometimes it's
mid-year.
We don't
live in a perfect world, do we?
Yeah, yeah. But that would be the perfect scenario. Start them at the beginning of the year, get them plugged into a group. We do our groups in such a way that we assign leaders to an age and gender, and we try to keep them with that same group of kids for as long as possible. I mean, ultimately, if we could do it for 7 years, that's what we would do. We'd start them with sixth grade and have them finish with graduating seniors, which doesn't happen too often, but you know, we cast that as a vision for them. And the ones that actually do that, the rewards are absolutely phenomenal relationally in those situations.
Our scenario is just a little different than that. We do that in middle school in that they're assigned a grade and a gender, and they follow that grade and gender through 6th and 7th and 8th grade, and then they launch them, and then they cycle back down. And now and again, a leader, when they get that group to 8th grade, will often request to maybe make the jump to the high school ministry instead. But again, a lot of the middle school leaders are middle school leaders because they love middle school.
Right. So, then those are jumps. Those are gold, man. Keep those people.
So we don't want to send those anywhere, let alone the high school ministry. But in high school, we do gender, but we don't do grade. But we also try to keep the leaders with the kids the whole time. So keep those groups as consistent as possible with very minor changes. And again, you're really pitching the importance of the relational aspect. So you're helping that leader on the front end understand that we're not just bringing you on so that you can chaperone a trip and make sure nobody gets in trouble or to clean up the milk after and the pizzas after the event. That really we're bringing you on to invest relationally in students, and we want to put you in the best position possible to do that. So this is what that's going to look like.
I tell people up front, this is the most difficult and demanding volunteer position in the entire church. And if you're going to sign on for this, man, hold on for dear life, because this is going to be intense at times. You're going to be greatly challenged. It's tiring. We're looking for long-term commitment. I mean, I'm setting the bar high. And sometimes that will scare people off, but that's okay, because
it's the reality.
That's the reality.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of conversations about that in our student ministry with the staff that we have right now about how we need to raise the bar. So, once we get a leader through that process and we think, they think it's going to be a good fit, we think it's going to be a good fit, then the next thing is to really just set some clear expectations.
Yeah.
Really let them know that this is what we're looking for. This is what the job entails, so that it's not surprising when we're saying, hey, can you go on a weekend retreat? Can you go on a mission trip? Can you show up on Saturday night because we're trying to do an extra activity to draw their friends in? They're not surprised by that. They know that up front. That no, this is not just to show up on Sunday night and babysit a small group. This is bigger, much bigger vision, more important. And yeah, just like you said, probably the most demanding thing you're going to find in the church here, but that's the gig, and so we need you to know that ahead of time.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is what you receive as a volunteer. If you are deeply invested, and I'm sure some of our listeners are volunteers, you know how awesome this is. You get these relationships with kids. You get to see transformation spiritually in their lives because you've invested so much over time. You know, it's time plus depth equals fantastic results. And so we tell the leaders the expectation is high, the bar is high, but the reward in the same way is, I think, the highest of any volunteer position in the church because you see such great results in the lives of kids over time.
Absolutely. But another thing then, when we bring a new leader on, kind of when we're training and releasing them into that ministry, one of the things we have to be upfront with them about, I think, is we need to help them have a long-term perspective.
Exactly.
You know, I think there's a lot of jobs or volunteer positions in the church and otherwise where the minute you step into that role, you can kind of be fully functioning. You know, you can just be living all the way into it and doing it. Whereas in student ministry, boy, because it's so relational, because there's such a relational investment that's involved.
It's hard. I'll tell you, when I was in seminary, I was preparing to be a student pastor, and I'd been a volunteer for years, but I was there for a period of time, a short period of time, and got involved as a volunteer in the youth ministry then. It was the hardest season of youth ministry I've ever done. I'd never really felt completely integrated, just struggled to make those connections. I think it was because I wasn't there that long and wouldn't be there that long. So I know what it's like to be in the situation where you're a volunteer and you just don't really quite get the culture yet, and you don't know what's going on. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on this podcast, and we'll continue to because it's kind of the point of the podcast, this idea of longevity, this idea of the benefits of being in student ministry for the long haul.
And the same is true for volunteers.
It's mirror images the volunteer, that the benefits that they reap and the ability of impact that they have on students grows the longer they stay in it.
Exponentially.
It's so hard in the first year or two because, you're figuring the culture out. You're figuring out who these kids are. You're investing relationally, which takes time and effort. And those dividends don't start coming back until you've put that work in and done that thing. So I think we got to help our volunteers understand sort of that longer term, bigger perspective that it may take a while before I'm really feeling like I'm firing on all cylinders here. And that's okay.
So we're saying, have a pipeline of potential volunteers. Keep that flowing. Always be on the lookout, trying to add new people to your team. And we're saying set the bar high so that people have a clear expectation of what's ahead of them, but also are excited about the potential rewards that they're going to get out of it. And the last part we want to talk about today is encouraging our team of volunteers. I mean, these are, in many cases, some of our best friends. These are the people that we have personally recruited and love as friends and as teammates. And we want to keep them. We want to encourage them so that they stick with it and do the best job possible.
Right. And I mean, obviously, we want to keep them around for the long haul because that's better for our students. It's better for us. It's better for the ministry. But as we just talked about,
it's better for them. Yeah.
And so how do we keep them? And one of the things that we've found in our context is to create a sense of team,
Absolutely.
To create a community within the community. I mean, the church is a community, but then student ministry is a community, and then the leaders of that student ministry become this, if done purposefully and well and intentionally, can become this tight-knit team of people who just flat out like to be together.
Yep.
Because it's a certain personality, it's a certain person who loves student ministry, so you already have that common ground, the goofiness, the silliness, the ability to not take yourself too seriously and laugh, that has the potential to develop this incredible community. But us as leaders, we still have to be intentional about that because it's not just going to happen.
When I was a volunteer first involved in youth ministry, that's what drew me to youth ministry, was being part of that team of people that we just had such a blast together. I have one story to tell. So back when I was a volunteer, there was a movement among the students. There was a toilet papering movement, right? The dreaded TPing of the houses of the youth leaders. And that bound us together in ways that, it's just awesome. So one night, I got this whisper that our house was next on the hit list of the of the TP squad.
Right.
And so I got a bunch of the youth leaders involved, and they all came over to my house. We knew they were going to come. They knew the kids were going to show up. And so we planted ourselves around my property.
The reverse sabotage.
Oh, my
gosh.
This is brilliant. We were dressed in black. We had buckets of water and a hose on the roof. And one of my youth ministry buddies was standing there in the yard behind a bush with the hose. And, you know, around 10 o'clock, we see the car slowly go by first pass, slowly go by second pass. We see it park up the street. We see camouflaged youth creeping towards our house, and we just unloaded on them. It was one of the greatest moments of my life, and it was our team of youth leaders just giving it back to the kids, and it was just such a great thing, such a great team-building thing for us. So,
yeah, what a sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten those people that I worked with so many years ago as part of that first team.
Yeah, and as we think about, in our context, at our church, as we think about, like, how do we appreciate, which is another part of this, how do we appreciate, we try to marry those two, where not only do we appreciate them, but we invite them in the appreciation into community.
Yeah, so, let's have fun together.
So, you know, we'll buy them a hoodie or a shirt, you know, just to say, hey, thanks, and that's all fine and well, but sort of the bigger bang for our buck has always been, like, what are we going to go do together?
Right.
One year, we rented the laser tag on the go places where they come to your place and set up like a laser tag.
That's cool.
Place. And we, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we go on these youth trips, we're chaperoning while the kids are having fun.
Right.
We said, you know what? No kids. Let's have fun.
Absolutely.
So one year we went to a bounce house place.
Wait, you have that leaders. You have that in your youth room.
No, we don't have that. Would you stop with that? People are going to start wondering about
I'm
this.
Pretty sure it's true.
It's not true. You know, one year we did a sunset dinner cruise on a sailboat down the Potomac River in D.C.
That's awesome.
Watching the monuments get all lit up as
That's
the sun
awesome.
Went down.
Yeah.
And it was, sure, it cost some money. Not as much as I actually thought. It was actually pretty reasonable. Mm. You take pictures and you post those pictures online, which is a recruiting tool. Because now people start going, wait, I serve in children's ministry. We get an
exactly.
apron. You know, wait, these guys are going on dinner cruises, and you know, I think we went to the Nats game one year, and you know, hot dog and French fry package in the cheap seats at the Nats game, and we're out there just having a great time. It's not only the hey, thanks, I'm going to take you and do this, but let's do it together because we like being together.
Yeah, we've played laser tag. We've done high ropes courses. We've done scavenger hunts together. Part of our regular team meetings, we eat together every time. We have dinner and we provide it for the volunteers because they're coming from work, they're busy, and they're rushing to the meeting. We have dinner together. I just think that that's really important to spend that time together.
Yeah, absolutely. We do the same thing. We have a breakfast once every 5 or 6 weeks before the first service that our middle school leaders come together and have.
Oh,
and again,
cool.
There's no real agenda for that meeting. It's
right.
not like a, you know, it's not like a, let's do this and let's not do that. It's just, they want to be together. So everybody brings, it's potluck, you know, everybody brings something and they enjoy time together and to develop that community. And another thing that we've done over the years is, you know, just one-on-ones.
Yeah.
You know, finding a time to meet with a leader, to just find out how you doing.
Debrief their
group,
yeah.
How their group is doing, how they're doing personally. Because, again, we want to develop a friendship.
Want to be pastors
right.
to them, sure.
But also, how they do, you know, what are they seeing that maybe we're not seeing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and how... What kind of things do we need to be thinking about and ways we could tweak our own ministry, you know, just to give them that time.
Yeah, we try to do that too.
But it builds them up. It helps them. And I think it leads to longevity because they're being cared for and they're being heard.
One thing I also try to do is I try to sit in on some of the groups, you know, every so often, and I let them know I'm coming so they're not freaked out, you know, like the principal's in the room here. But just say, hey, I want to sit in. I want to see what's going on, what your group's like, and then I tell them up front, I'm going to give you some feedback afterwards. Just going to give you some suggestions or things that I see that maybe could be done differently or celebrate the things they're doing really well.
Sure.
And just let them know that up front, sit down in the group, and then immediately follow up with them and let them know how it went.
So an ongoing training aspect.
Yeah, I think just being there to encourage them and continue to coach them. I think part of the thing that I have to remind myself is that people often don't know exactly how to handle certain situations they find themselves in that maybe I've taken for granted.
Assume they do.
Leading a discussion or what to do with the kid who comes to you in tears, or, you know, just different things that maybe I've dealt with before. So sometimes we can assume that everybody knows how to handle every situation. That may not be the case. So just to remind ourselves of that, come alongside them and, you know, just coach them with some real basic things to get through the things that they're facing.
Yeah, and I think it's simply stated, but I think that because it's simple and obvious, we can maybe not think too much about this, and that is to thank our volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obvious, so sure, we're going to write them a note at the end of the school year and say thanks for everything you've done, or maybe at Thanksgiving or around Christmas, or if we bought them a hoodie or a t-shirt, we're going to add a note. But I think it has to go beyond that. It has to be more intentional, like when you see them having a success or having a moment, or when you notice something that's happening in their group or in a relationship they have with a student, to
immediate feedback,
immediately find that and to just affirm that and to say, man, thank you for the sacrifices you're making.
I think affirming personally, but also affirming publicly.
Yeah.
You know, saying in front of the whole group, hey, I just want to give a shout out to so-and-so. She did such an amazing job. You guys had a sleepover on Friday night. She stayed up all night with you. You should just sing her praises forever. You know, do that with the parents of the students. You know, let them know how great your youth leaders are so that they can build relationships and celebrate your leaders too. And
absolutely.
And even before the whole church, whenever possible. I like to say, you know, use my opportunity with the microphone in front of the whole church to just shout the praises of the youth leaders and all the great things that they've done in the lives of the kids.
And I think oftentimes as the leader of the ministry, we often get feedback from parents or students or even random feedback from people about good things that are happening, about things they've noticed or seen. And our leaders don't get that. And we have to be intentional about passing that on to the leaders. Again, I think as long as they can see the benefit and the reason for the sacrifices they're making, they'll keep making them forever.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've got to pitch that vision of this is why it matters that we show up on the weekend retreats, even though we had to work all week and it was tough. We have to envision them for it so they see why the sacrifice matters. So we have to be very intentional about that.
One last thing to mention in this episode is that I think it's important to give volunteers a chance to step out. I think we need to put that opportunity into the calendar that, hey, this is the time for you to evaluate if you want to come back. There's a real tendency to just say, oh, you signed up as a youth leader. You're in this for life.
Forever.
You know,
it's like the blood contract.
Yeah, and eventually people might start doing it out of guilt, and their calling may diminish or their season of life may change. And so we've started to do that intentionally. Every spring, we have that conversation with each volunteer. Do you want to continue? Have you thought about it? If their group is in transition from middle to high school, you know, we have that conversation. Do you want to move up? Do you want to start back in sixth grade? Do you want to step out? And really be completely fine with their answer.
Yep.
To not lay guilt on them.
Sure.
Not manipulate them. And just give them that opportunity to step out. We do something in our youth ministry where we give them the summers off. I know you guys don't do that, and maybe that's not possible in every youth ministry. We hire cheap labor from the church down the street. He's sitting.
That's my church.
Yeah, he's sitting down there, our summer intern. But we just try to give our volunteers a summer off. For us, that has worked great. Maybe that's not possible. It's just something to consider.
Yeah, and again, that's not necessarily our the way our ministry flows, but we certainly understand the importance of giving them time to take a break, take a breath. We build a sabbatical into our ministry, which is not only for our volunteers, but also for our students and for us. It's just a time to reset and get started again. That helps. And then even just understanding that life isn't perfect. And so although we're setting the bar high, and we have these expectations that when they came, we just had a couple who was serving that decided to step out for family circumstances that, again, they're not in control of. We're not in control of. And we, as frustrating as that can be sometimes, because you think, oh, man, we got some good leaders here, now we're losing them.
Yeah.
To be able to respect that and understand that, know that God's going to provide, and that's why we have that pipeline. That's why we have more people that we're going to tap on the shoulder and pull in. So, yeah, just understanding that. Where they keep that bar set high, but at the same time understand that it's just not as easy as we like it to be.
High expectations, high grace.
High grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, volunteers. Absolutely got to have them.
They are the gold in the treasure trove of every youth ministry, and I hope you're able to find those volunteers. If you're not, and I just pray that you will find the people that can jump in, stick with it, and just give you great leadership.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to thank you for listening today. If you could go to iTunes and give us a review, that would be so kind of you. We'd appreciate it very much.
And again, we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page, Instagram. Again, we want this to be a conversation. So if you have ideas, maybe things that you do in your ministry context to recruit or train or encourage and equip youth leaders, just please share that. We'd love for the knowledge to be passed along to the many so that we could all have successful volunteers in our ministry.
So when this episode is released, we will have determined the winner of the Sherpa Prize Pack. We're super excited about that.
And so next episode, we will reveal the winner of the amazing $50 plus Sherpa Prize Pack.
It could be you. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'm telling you what.
In addition to the Sherpa Prize Pack, we have a special announcement today. It's pretty cool.
Sub-season of Youth Ministry Service.
Special presentation.
Absolutely. Coming after Easter.
Yeah, we are going to deliver to your podcast inbox 26 episodes in 26 days.
Sherpa shorts.
Sherpa shorts. Got to make sure you say that properly.
Smaller episodes.
Based around the alphabet.
We're going to take 26 words and talk about how they incorporate into student ministry. You won't want to miss it.
It's going to be a lot of improv, a lot of fun. I think it's going to be really helpful. And we're just excited to be able to give that to you in such a short span of time. A little burst of podcast for your listening pleasure. It's going to be great.
All right. We look forward to seeing you next week. Sherpas out.
Take care.